The General Services Administration has temporarily frozen hiring and suspended bonuses for most senior executive service members. And this is the latest aftershock from the Western Regions Conference scandal that came to light in April. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is here with details about these decisions announced yesterday by Acting GSA Administrator Dan Tangerlini. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
All right, so why did the Acting Administrator Tangerlini suspend SES bonuses and freeze hiring?
Well, Tangerlini says about 85% of all SESers at GSA will not receive performance awards in 2012 or 2013. GSA has also suspended all performance awards given out what they call from the administrator's office for the rest of this fiscal year. GSA also immediately eliminated the what they call the awards stores program. This was a program that came under fire during the big conference scandal back in April, where GSA employees received prizes such as iPods, digital cameras, and the like for meeting certain goals. It was part of this bigger awards program. Now, remember, this is the career SESers who will be impacted. Only about 15% will get bonuses. The rest will not. Now, this is all part of the issues, as you mentioned, that came up after the Western Regions Conference scandal. And if you remember, it caused the downfall of at least four senior officials, including then-Administrator Martha Johnson. Now, basically, what is going on here is Dan Tangerlini did an agency-wide review and found what he calls clear deficiencies in the area of performance awards. GSA has more than 15 different bonus structures. He says that there's questions about the agency's high award rates, and there's questions about whether performance goals are set high enough at a high enough level throughout the agency. Now, in the aftermath, again, of that Western Regions Conference scandal, the GSA Inspector General found employees under investigation received more than $1 million in bonuses. 84 employees, to be exact, received on average about $13,000 each. And that, I think this is where this is coming from. Now, I did a little bit more research into this. This was all posted on a blog item that Mr. Tangerlini set up yesterday. But I called around and talked to a couple GSA people, and one person told me, hey, this bonus, this idea of limiting bonuses for both SES and non-SESers, actually started under Martha Johnson a year ago. So this is more of a continuation than a big surprise. Now, as far as the hiring freeze, that came from a top-to-bottom review that Dan Tangerlini is currently in the middle of. And basically, he says, listen, until we figure out what this new organization is going to look like, we don't think we should hire new employees. And just as a reminder, this follows two rounds of buyouts that GSA is done. They're in the middle of that second round now, and a third one that is very possible coming.
And Jason, so what do you think will the impact be of these decisions? How are the GSA employees faring? They've really taken a lot of hits, and most of them didn't have anything to do with the buildings conference in 2010.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And obviously, I think my initial reaction was this is going to take another shot at their morale, and I think that's the obvious. But, you know, I talked to one person at GSA who says, you know, when this idea of hiring freezes and bonus freezes were announced, a late Monday afternoon, early Monday evening, the reaction was kind of non-existent. You know, the political bonuses were already cut in recent years. You know, the White House has frozen those bonuses. The SESers hasn't received much in the overall scheme of things either in the last few years as well. So what I'm hearing is the reaction is, okay, you know, it happened. We understand that things happen. This is part of the fallout from the Western Regions Conference. The other piece of this that I think is interesting is this also could be in part a reaction to GSA's budget situation. For those of you that follow GSA closely, they know that GSA does not get a lot of appropriations from Congress. So when they're told to cut 5 or 10% out of their budget and the budget gets tighter, where are they going to find that money from? Well, the most obvious place is salaries and expenses, and this is where the bonuses probably come in. Now, obviously, things have been very quiet over at GSA since probably, you know, June, July, you know, last month and a half, 6 weeks or so. And so this kind of reminds people about this situation of what's going on with the Western Regions Conference. And Congressman John Mike is the chairman of the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, and he's been one of the more outspoken critics of GSA and their conference scandals. He said yesterday that this is just, you know, one small step to reform an agency that has spun out of control. It's common sense that GSA executives are responsible for blowing hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayers' dollars on lavish conferences, trips to exotic locations, should not be rewarded with bonuses. And in fact, Micah says the committee will conduct additional hearings on GSAs to review the agency's measures to clean up its act and consider additional items. Again, you know, this really brings back that, in many ways, those bad memories. Now, Tangerlini spoke just yesterday as well at an event hosted by ACT, IAC, and Tech America in McLean, Virginia, and he was asked about employee morale before the news broke about the hiring and bonus freezes.
I think the whole, frankly, revelations of the Western Region Conference has, you know, done a lot on the negative side for employee morale. I think seeing GSA on the front page in a very negative light has been hard on employee morale. I think that changing people's way that they've expected us to do business has probably been a challenge for folks. But I'd also say that at some level, I've seen a lot of people react very positively to it and say, you know, good, we're glad. This is a real opportunity for us to stop, take a look, self-assess, ask ourselves some big questions. And I think that there's, you know, where there's uncertainty, there's going to be some fear, and that can have an effect on morale.
So Tangerine also says the scandal, as you said, as you heard him say, gives GSA and their employees an opportunity, and I think that employees recognize this chance to change.
The 500 ideas and the thousands of comments I got from folks was not from a group that's sitting and crying themselves to sleep at night. These are folks who are engaged, who are committed, who are interested, who are motivated, and frankly excited. So I think you would have to be an organization filled with something other than humans to not go through what we went through in the last couple months and not feel bad about it. But I also have to say that I really admire the skill and the quality of the GSA employees are saying, well, this is a huge opportunity for us to reprove our value, to show what we can do, and to really change the way we do our work.
Now, at the same time, keep in mind, GSA is also going through a lot of other issues. You know, you have the idea that they're all going to move back into the 1800 F Street building that has not been fully renovated like planned, and they're trying to put, you know, basically 6,000 people in a building set for 3,000. So people are going to lose their office space. They're going to do a lot of hoteling, and that's a morale. It affects morale as well because it's a change in what's happening. You also have the pay freezes that are going across government, or at least, you know, likelihood that a pay freeze or at least a reduction in pay is coming based on all the different bills in Congress. So, you know, while Dan Tangerlini believes that the morale seems to be up and people seem to be excited for what this, you know, bad news can bring good news, there's still a lot of other things that are going on that GSA employees are having to deal with.
So other than running a hot office chair operation, did he give any details about his plans to reshape the agency after this top-to-bottom review?
You know, he didn't give a lot of information about what his plans are. A couple tidbits maybe, but nothing concrete. And what was interesting is this was really his first speech before a major industry audience in the D.C. area. I think he spoke at the GSA Expo a number of months ago, but this was his first major speech. And you know, he didn't offer a lot of details. Now, I did ask him specifically about a rumor that he's considering consolidating the chief information officer offices at the Public Building Service, at the Federal Acquisition Service, and the headquarters into one CIO office. Tangerlini says he's made no definitive decisions on any reorganization issues yet.
These things are squarely on the table. We want to talk about them. And if there are rumors about consolidating things within the organization, then we're doing something right, because that means we are actually having the dialogue. What I think is important, though, is that you have the ability to have a dialogue. You have a free flow discussion. You push things out there. And it's frankly my job as the person running the place to kind of push us the hardest, to really leverage the space that was given to us by, you know, for example, Senator Boxer, and to think bigger. And to ask people, are there ways that we can deliver solutions more efficiently? Can we be more productive? Can we drive down our overhead so that we can reduce costs and improve services? And so I'm challenging folks across the organization to find ways that we can look at how we set ourselves up and whether we do it the most efficient way possible. So I won't put an end to the rumor, but I also won't answer it definitively.
Now, he says these conversations about reorganization will continue throughout the summer, and by the fall, he says he'll have some notional idea of how to restructure the agency. So a couple more months away from anything very definitive.